Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is an audio-only version of a Then and Now video. To see the full video, search Then and Now on YouTube. Enjoy. What did Descartes know for certain? That he's a thinking thing, a cogito. But what does it mean to think? Descartes does list a few modes of thinking. He says doubting, affirming, denying, understanding, awareness of ignorance, willingness, imagination, and sensory perception. But this, he says, is all he knows for sure. It's the foundation that all other philosophy and science should be built upon. What we have here in Descartes is the beginning of a philosophy of mind. Philosophers of mind ask questions like, how can we schematize the mind, draw it out? How do we analyze its parts and think clearly about how they relate to one another? The 20th century German philosopher Martin Heidegger embarks upon a similar project to Descartes. What, he asks, is the fundamental nature of our experience, of our existence? Heidegger has many agreements with Descartes. If we want to live life well, he says, we need to be clear about its most fundamental component. He is, though, more interested than Descartes about how we live in the world, how we relate to the things around us. Descartes' approach to philosophy can be summarized by his famous phrase, cogito ergo sum, which translates as thinking, therefore being. For Heidegger, Descartes has it the wrong way round, though. He thinks that Descartes has neglected the sum, the being. What is it, he asks, to be something? Now, I don't want to delve too deeply into the complicated foundations of Heidegger's thought, but simply, he says, first, we are beings in the world. To explain this, Heidegger begins in a similar way to Descartes. In a short commentary on Descartes, Heidegger asks the reader, what does Descartes care about? Now, he cares about knowledge, science, mathematics, skepticism, atheism, Catholicism, and other worldly things. He has motivations. He seeks. He's looking for truth. And he has care for these things. He cares about them before he is certain that he's a thinking thing, before he's certain that he's thinking about them, that is. So this care about these things is more foundational to thought, to his mind. Heidegger writes, Dasein's facticity
is such that its being in the world has always dispersed itself or even split itself up into definite ways of being in. The multiplicity of these is indicated by the following examples: having to do with something, producing something, attending to something and looking after it, making use of something, giving something up and letting it go, undertaking, accomplishing, evincing, interrogating, considering, discussing, determining. Care, then, at its most foundational, is like focus. It's like intentionality. We all focus on certain things in the world. And so it's a fundamental existential mode of being. But we can go further. Why do we care? Let's think about Descartes' most frequent mode of thinking, doubting. It's meant to be purely res cogitans, that is, not physical, something we only think. But what are we doing when we are doubting, when we're caring about doubting? We're taking an object of thought, a belief, a sensory perception, a feeling, and we're questioning it. We're performing some kind of action on a distinct object of thought. Is it true that the cat is sat on the mat, for example? But what are we questioning about it? What does it mean to question something? Why question in the first place? There are a number of routes we could take here. We might think about needing reliable information about the world, predictability, to being able to interact efficiently with the world, with our knowledge about it. We might think we do it to follow our drives and to satiate our hungers and thirsts or our need for shelter. In short, we care about the validity of our propositions, the truthfulness of them in the moment, dependent on our goals in time. We care about their authenticity. Heidegger also points towards our experience in time. We care about the validity of having an entity present before us and understanding our relationship to it. Here, the cat is sat on the mat, for example. But we also care about the repeatability, the memorialization, the verifiability of the idea that the cat was sat on the mat. So we can add all of these phenomena that Heidegger looks into, and there are many, many more, to the list of things that we know for certain. To summarize, though, we are beings in the world, not beings and the world. Heidegger says, for example, that when Descartes is analyzing his famous wax, he's not a passive spectator. He's interacting with it, moving it around, tapping it, placing it into the fire. He's questioning something that is present at hand. Which leads us to another of Heidegger's observations, one that begins to draw out the existentialism in his thought. Now, Descartes is doing a lot of doubting, a lot of questioning, a lot of denying and searching. And I have some experience in this area, because if you spend a lot of time reading people like Descartes, or the ancient skeptics, or the postmoderns, the thinkers who spend a lot of time trying to understand the foundational essence of something like truthfulness, you spontaneously begin to do a lot of doubting yourself. Now, this is great, of course. Criticizing, analyzing, questioning, interpreting, noticing things. But it can also be unhelpful. You don't want to have to constantly be asking, what is that? Or why is that? Or what if that? You can become too hesitant, too unsure, too doubtful of everything and yourself. If, Heidegger says, we are meant to be beings in the world, and the hyphens here are meant to signify the oneness of our experience with the world, then there are times when we can, as Descartes does, become separated from the world. The world becomes a question mark, distinct from us, and ultimately unknowable. it can lead to Heidegger's interpretation of anxiety. Heidegger sees that if, as Descartes says, doubt is a fundamental foundation of our being, then anxiety is too. We contain an unavoidable existential angst within us. This is what leads to Heidegger's existentialism, and what I think Heidegger would argue makes Descartes a proto-existentialist. He says that Descartes is threatened by the possibility of impossibility, that all and everything is false, that he's mistaken, that there is a demon, that he's asleep or mad, a constant searching for oneself. But we do live with the possibility of arriving at satisfactory conclusions too, however temporary they might be, what Heidegger calls an end situation. We are entities with a capacity for self-perfection. Descartes thought he'd found the certain knowledge that cured his existential doubt. So, in conclusion here, I want to add that Heidegger is not necessarily anti-Cartesian. His relationship with Descartes is much more nuanced than that. But I think he does provide the best attempt to overcome the idea of a mind-body duality that we've largely inherited from Descartes. Antonio Damasio, who we looked at last time, writes that this is Descartes' error. The abysmal separation between body and mind, between the sizable, dimensioned, mechanically operated, infinitely divisible body stuff on the one hand, and the unsizable, undimensioned, unpush-pullable, non-divisible mind stuff on the other. And why is it important to get this stuff right? Because it guides our thinking in many, many other areas. Whether it's ideas like the mind being similar to a computer application, or how advances in mental health and psychiatry occur. So what can we add to Descartes' philosophy of mind, his list of certainties that we talked about at the beginning? This has been a brief overview of a Heideggerian critique, and one that's nowhere near exhaustive. Being and Time is a very, very long and complicated work. But to Descartes' rationalism, we might add a few concepts like being in the world, care, time, authenticity, present at handedness, and anxiety. Hey everyone, I feel very lucky to be able to say that I'm finally at the point where I can commit full time to making these videos. It's a great honour to be able to do that. I absolutely love doing it. I'm going to make two or three videos a month and continue to improve the quality and the research and do a few more experiments and chats and rambles in between, but it is a time-consuming job. It's a full-time job and it is just me. So unfortunately, right now, Patreon is still the only way that Then and Now survives. So if you get any value from these videos whatsoever, then please consider pledging $1 or $2 on Patreon. If you pledge $5 or $10 or more even, I will add your name to the credits. I will put scripts and the audio and at some point the videos out early for Patreons only. So if there's anything you'd like to see there, then please let me know. But if you can't afford that right now, then of course it's enough to just press like, subscribe, share, and remember to click that bell to be notified to new videos. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.